Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is the producer of VFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Somewhere out there.
If you missed the first hour, you've got to catch it. You've got to catch it. You can catch the picture of a million men in Washington, D.C. worshiping God on the torch, though, right now. You can go to VFNTV.com and click on the torch. And you see a picture of, and in that picture you'll notice an arrow pointing in the front, an arrow pointing in the very, very back area.
Way back.
The monument area. That's John back there, and that's Pat and I up front. Early to rise, early to shine. I don't know if you heard or not, but also that the Supreme Court's meeting, we got a chance to talk about that as well. But we ended with a very important talk about not letting things go to your head. We don't want what got out of our head. The church has gotten to where we are today because it was in our heads. It's time to get back to the heart of things. It's time to get back to letting God lead us. He is our leader. Our mind is not our leader. We're supposed to cast down those thoughts in our mind that don't line up to our leader. And the Father, you got to hear that. I really encourage you. Also, the physiology of the brain, what happens when change happens. And things really do happen, but you still have to deal with it. This extra hour, we're going to be talking about how God does speak. And what God does, the voice of the Lord. We're also going to be talking about the influence of the Bible and what's taking place and what they're trying to minimize. This powerful book that they just can't do away with because it's written on the hearts of men, the Bible, and so much more. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio, Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John. My goodness, man, is that not good about not letting it go to your head?
That's beautiful.
And think about this. Think about this. So many people are operating out of their head. So many people are operating out of their head.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think we need to have a church growth meeting. How about just go tell somebody about Jesus? You know, because it's going to happen. You're going to grow something, but it's not going to be church. Mm. The church is, I mean, if you're trying to grow that, your organization and your facility and there's been things said like the only way you can really grow, and they call evangelism grow your church, is to get in debt. Mm. You know, go get in debt, go build something, and then the people that are there are terrified they're going to have to pay the bill, so they'll go out and get people to join the church to help pay the bill.
And that's work. Sounds more like debt.
Well, the whole thing is just like, what? That's out of your head. That is trying to, you're supposed to cast that down. You know, you guys, it makes sense if you listen to the last part of the first hour, but, you know, Paul said, cast down every thought that it exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's not what. As a matter of fact, when Paul would come into a place, he was so careful not to operate out of his head or do anything that would cause people to think it was because of his talents or his abilities or his ability to orate, you know, to be able to give a word that just kind of, you know, he just kind of made sure that their trust was in God.
He said, I didn't come with persuasive words. I came with a demonstration of the Spirit's power.
That's right.
You know, don't get it twisted here. It's not about a book, but it's about God.
If we finish, you're talking about me, we've totally missed it.
Yeah.
But if we finish and you're talking about John, no. When we finish, though, and you're talking about the Lord, I mean, think about it. It's just beautiful to hear everybody getting hungry for God, and they want more of God, and they didn't realize that the God of the Bible is the God of today. And I'm telling you, you got to get your relationship, your perceived relationship with God out of your head and realize whatever relationship you have with God, it's in your heart. You know, if you confess Jesus is Lord with your mouth, and believe in your heart. Does God do these things amongst you because you have some intellectual experience and you figured things out? Or because you believe in your heart?
That's right.
And if you believe that chair will hold you, you sit in it. You don't even think about it. And the truth is, if you believe God, you obey him. Right?
That's right.
That's right.
You don't even hesitate. He's like, you didn't hesitate to sit in that chair this morning.
Hmm.
You didn't hesitate to put those Cheerios in your mouth. You said, that's going to make me, that's going to give me food. But think about it. You didn't hesitate to breathe. But all of a sudden, God says, I think I need you to do this today. He's like, that might not be God. Yeah, right? And it goes right to your head. And it's like, well, that's not belief. Belief is in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't let it go to your head. Your brain will work against you if you let it go to your head. It'll shut down. Everything stops working. I mean, it's amazing. You got to check it out. We talked about even the physiology of that.
A way to insanity is trying to apply logical principles to God.
Yeah.
He'll ask you the very illogical things.
Yeah.
To offend your mind. You can't try to figure it out in your mind. You got to figure it out, you know, here, follow him in your heart and in your spirit. Mm-hmm. That's one way to quick frustration and insanity.
Yeah. Remember, you know, years ago, you used to have fuse boxes.
Yeah.
And you had to screw them in. And then if something's bad, if it overloads, it just burns that fuse out, you know. They have them in cars still, but the and when you watch somebody try to figure God out, they're constantly just blowing fuses. You know, it's like, how many fuses are you going to actually change before you realize it has nothing to do with your brain at all? And by the way, and I'm not going to be filtered through your brain. So come back and visit me when you come out of that thing, right? When you finish this ride in your brain, you know, okay, this connects to that, and the knee bone, the leg bone, and this thing that connects to it. Oh, these two pieces don't connect. I don't see. Help me. You know, like, what are you doing? I mean, you just got to catch the last part of, and understand that's the physiology. When that happens, you just took your relationship to God and your perceived obedience to God and ran it through your brain, and you're blowing fuses left and right.
Mm.
Why not just follow him? I mean, you think about this too. I mean, we might as well. We're going with it. Here he is. You know, this guy saying, you know, here's Jesus. God, Emmanuel, is walking and ministering and demonstrating. This is God. This is what you're seeing, the face of God here. Uh-huh. And so the guy says to Jesus, he says, listen, I'm going to go with you. I'm with you, man. I am with you. Woo! Well, we're going to do some coffee, some lunch and stuff. But right now, I'm going to go back and bury my father, because this is what I'm thinking. Follow me, Jesus. This is what I'm thinking. That if, I mean, they're not going to be, they probably won't, they won't even text me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they won't call me anymore. They won't write me. They'll think, it's just look kind of bad, you know, and I don't want to think bad about you, Jesus. It's like,
right?
You know, God's giving them all air to breathe. And Jesus says, listen, if you think you can relate to me in your head, in other words, you're going to follow your own thoughts, he says, you're not even worthy.
Mm.
Let the dead bury the dead. Jesus, I see what you're talking about, but I'm thinking, that's not going to go over good, because I need to be at that funeral, because they'll think I won't care. I mean, I do care about you, kind of, sort of, but, you know, it's going to be bad if I'm not standing by that funeral right now.
Mm.
And so they turn their back on a living God or a dead man who's already in the presence of the throne room. Think about it. And that's what happens when you go to your head. That's what happens. Jesus, my brother, tell him to share his inheritance with me. What are you even talking about? What are you thinking? What are you coming to me with that? Right?
Right.
He talks about, okay, he said, listen, if you put your hands to the plow and you start thinking back, you look back. Let me tell you something. You're not even worthy to work in the kingdom of God. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 11. If they would have looked back, thought back, pondered back, they would have went back.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people that just, like, is there anything futuristic in your mind? Is there, like, I don't know, like, tomorrow? Did you think about tomorrow? We'll just start with, like, did you plan dinner? I mean, is there anything forward in your life? Is there anything, you know, I don't know, eternity? Did you ever think about death? And I mean, it's just like, oh my goodness. So many people are just thinking, I'm with you, Jesus. I'm there. But I'm thinking that if I do give you 10% of what I earn, that I won't have enough to be able to pay this. So, but you know my heart. Oh my goodness. You know my heart. You know my heart. And he's going, yeah, I do know your heart. And if you'd listened to it, you would not even have this conversation with me right now. But, you know, think about it, right? I'm thinking, Jesus, I'm thinking, I know you can heal people, but I'm just thinking, you know, this, it's not going to happen when I pray for someone. I'm thinking about what's going to happen when I do lay my hands on them and I pray and it doesn't happen. Mm. And then I'm just thinking, I'm going to look bad.
Mm.
You know, I don't want to do you nothing wrong, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I'm just thinking, you know, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, come on. I'm tired of that. It's like, where are the people who have a heart for God, who follow their heart despite the screaming fiery darts that are in their head, and they're just not even listening to them? It doesn't even bother. Oh, it's just you, Satan. It doesn't matter. Well, this is going to happen. Who cares? So what? To die is gain, to live is Christ. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to follow God, then look at the condition. John, what is the condition of America right now? What is the condition of the church in America? It's a head situation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Everyone's thinking out of their head. But the truth is, too, is that, you know, it's not because, you know, obviously, you know, God's given us a mind for a reason. So you have to think, right? You got to think. But you can't let your thoughts stop you. You can't let what you think interfere with what God says.
But you're supposed to take, okay, once you hear those and you're supposed to be reading the word and abiding,
mm-hmm.
and if they're in conflict, then you take it like an MMA wrestler or whatever they are. And you slam dunk that puppy and you go, no, and you force it to be in compliance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't ponder outside of God's and just wander down this rabbit trail of argument with God, arguing mm-hmm. with God, right?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, you think, hasn't the church, it's kind of like a lot of the churches ended up that way.
Yeah. They think and they get whatever answer that comes to their mind. But when God's truth comes in, they don't obey to God's truth. There's two camps. I mean, you can go through that inner frontal lobe. Tracy does a great job explaining it. But if you don't move on with God after that,
right.
if you don't move on with God, then you're going to stay stuck there
right.
with your thoughts. And a lot of people are in prison. They're not going anywhere.
Right.
They're in prison of their thoughts. And that's why we need the grace of God, God's supernatural right. enablement and empowerment to help us to do God's will. It's what the grace
right.
of God's there for. But without grace, everything has to filter through your brain.
Right.
And that's a sad place to be, because if it's all through your thoughts,
very sad.
You're locked down in these strongholds of patterns of thinking.
I mean, think about it. You know, you couldn't even figure out logarithms in math class. And you're trying to figure out the creator of the universe who exists outside of time and mm-hmm. who is holding every mitochondria and every cell in every body together.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to take this awesome God, and it just, his awesomeness can't even hover around your brain. I mean, it's going to just melt that puppy down and blow it out.
Yeah.
It's like, what's that, gray matter? You know, it's
right.
gray matter.
Works versus grace, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, so when you look at the condition, and it's just like, this is a conversation between two thinking, you know, ministers, for example. So what are you doing? You know, I started A, and then I moved on to B when I found out the C. But when I did a C, this is what's going on. Oh, that's pretty good. I think I'm going to try the C. And then they talk to somebody who it moves in their heart, and they go, well, what are you doing? Man, just, you know, God spoke to me and said this, and I just did it. And then this happened, and then he did that, and then he said this. I mean, that just blows their mind. They're thinking like, he says he's hearing from God.
All right.
It just doesn't fit. You know?
No.
If he says this today, God could say something else tomorrow. That would be change. I don't do change. I operate in my head. And it's totally outside of their grid. And it's like, so if the voice of God is outside your grid, what does that really say? Does that really say you're following God or not?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that the only logical head response to the thinking, the mind minister would be, is this guy has lost his mind. He's not using his head, or she's not using her head. And that's pretty much
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But when it comes time to the altar of God, I'd rather be the one who followed their heart with God than thought they were so smart and so wise and so intelligent that they could think their way to God. What an insult to the cross of Christ. What an insult to the gospel
mm-hmm.
that we become smart enough, we don't have to follow our heart anymore.
Mm.
Mm-mm. That's good.
I mean, think about that. So, and now, in the context of that, that the influence of the Bible, what's, I mean, if you think about what's taking place with that.
Yeah, CBS News is reporting about, is the Bible losing its influence in America? Is the Bible losing its influence? And they do a study, I believe it's American Bible Society, and it says that 77% of those surveyed believe that values and morals in the United States are declining. So they believe that, 77%.
Wow.
Now, one third of them say it's because we don't read the Bible enough. One third.
Who's being surveyed?
Americans. Americans across the board.
Wow. So they said if we read our Bible more, then we'd have better values.
We'll have better values. They even go on to say that 66% believe that the Bible has everything a person needs to live a meaningful life. So that's what they believe. But 58% say they don't want the wisdom and advice the Bible has to offer. So they believe it's good, but they don't want to follow the wisdom and the direction the Bible has to offer. I want you to listen to CB News reporting on this. And there's an interview with I believe the leader from the American Bible Society, and what these numbers mean.
And joining us now is Jeff Morin of the American Bible Society. Jeff, looking at these findings, some might conclude the Bible is losing its influence in America. Is that the case?
Oh, it's not the case. The Bible still remains a beloved book in America. It's the most bought, it's still the most burned and banished, but the most bought and cherished book that we have. Look at some of the statistics we have. 88% of Americans have a Bible that they call their own. There's an average, actually, of about four per household. We watched this last year. People reported one in six Americans, in fact, bought a new Bible. So It continues to have strong favor and influence across our country.
Interesting. Well, the report also shows an increase in the number of Americans who are antagonistic towards the Bible. What does that mean?
Yeah, our 2013 study does show a nation divided, and the cracks are showing. We look at the positive information that's available about the Bible that I just talked about, but also there are challenges. So there are 6 million more from last year to this year, 6 million more what we would call Bible antagonists. Those are folks that would self-report as saying they're not just neutral on the Bible, don't read the Bible, but are against reading the Bible. So that's, you know, that's alarming for us. We also look at the number of younger Americans, those in the millennial 18 to 29 range, who read the Bible very rarely, some almost 7 in 10 of those young adults. So these are signs of concern for us in a very divided American landscape.
And Jeff, I guess it's not that surprising that younger people maybe aren't reading the Bible as much as older folks, but those who do read it, according to the study, are seeking advice on parenting, relationships, and family matters. So what does that tell us?
It says that the Bible is being used for the way that I think God intended it, for some very practical, everyday kinds of things. Of course, that it's going to invite us to discover the author, but it has great counsel. It has great wisdom on very specific things. What's interesting is even for the number that I just gave of young adults who are not reading the Bible, the things they look for are the answers they need for their life today. And many of those adults are the ones, young adults and older adults, that are watching the Bible on television as well right now, the incredibly popular miniseries from Mark Burnett and Roma Downey.
And when I travel, I have my Bible app on my iPhone, but I still carry my big, fat Bible because, you know, I just don't want to be without it.
Far and wide majority of people still read the Bible, turning those pages and looking for the words of Jesus in red, and that's great. We are seeing, though, a rise in what I call supplemental Bible reading, the massive growth of digital Bible.
Well, Jeff Morin, thanks so much for joining us.
Great being with you.
Wow, that's so powerful. You know, when you just think about it, I don't know if you heard that statistic. He said there's also 6 million people that are coming against the Bible, 6 million more than last year. You think about the power of God's word.
Right.
You know, and I think about JJ, Jews and Jesus. It's like, right. You know, this is amazing because there's power and life in the word. But, you know, another statistic that was shared, and it's pretty sad, but it's pretty, you know, close to what we have learned from George Barnard's research. It says 57% say that they read the scriptures fewer than 5 times a day, a year. 57% say they read the scriptures fewer than 5 times a year. Uh-huh. So although they think that the Bible is great and it's good information, what they believe and their actions are not working together. They're not the same. And it's like, you know what? The hope for America and the hope for any of us is to spend time in God's word. It's not just a good idea. It's not even a reference book, but it's a living book, and we get to meet the author. When we get back from our break, we're going to talk about this more. We'll be right back.
I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on the LVFM radio today. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now via FM radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work that's even come to pass, and, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming, because it was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. Oh, yeah. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, I remember this one. Oh yeah, I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this. And it was just.
Isn't it amazing? So you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering, and that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah,
it was revealed from God.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class, I got to take my algebra class. It's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed. You know, and so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go, the next thing you go, like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's so awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you want possibly interested in, you feel a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to be feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org, and you can find out more. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Ha, ha, ha. Welcome back to BFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. I was just startled by the intro there, but it is definitely not the other. Okay. Yes.
Ooh, in case you were sleeping, you are now officially awake.
We want to welcome
you back to BFN Radio. Thank you for joining us.
That's just amazing. When you're talking about the Bible, 59% was it? 59, 57%?
57% say they read the scripture fewer than five times a year. They read the Bible less than five times a year.
Hmm. These are believers.
I wonder if they remember what they read when they come back 3 months later and pick it up again, and they can remember where they left off.
My goodness. My goodness.
Which means you don't read it at all. They read it at Easter. They read it at Christmas.
Christmas.
What would be the other time
maybe,
they'd read it?
Maybe at Christmas.
A funeral. There probably was a funeral that happened.
Somebody got married.
And they heard something on the news once. Somebody was getting some Grammy or something.
and said,
I want to thank God. That's in the Bible, isn't it?
Oh, wait a minute. They saw John 3:16 at a sporting event.
Yes,
so they
John 3:16.
They opened the Bible up at that time.
What's John 3? What?
Yeah, that is amazing.
Uh-huh. That is amazing.
But the sad thing is that, so 57%, but then you have 81%, I believe, according to George Barna, that are not reading at all.
And those are believers.
Yeah, that's, oh yes, exactly.
Those are believers.
It's the believers, and that wasn't believers you were talking about, but it's just kind of a general. But people who profess to be able... followers of Jesus Christ who follow his ways don't even read his ways. Like, how do you know you're following him? Can you be saved by a God you profess to know who doesn't know you?
Interesting, huh?
Very interesting. I encourage you. The reason why maybe you've tried to read your Bible and it just seems real just difficult for you to read is because you first have to know the God of the Bible. I mean, you need to know him. It only makes sense to that when you know the Lord, when you know him, you know. And some people have picked the Bible up and begin to read it, and in the process, they met God. But when they met God, all of a sudden what they were reading came alive because the word is living, it's active, it's sharper than a double-edged sword, that Jesus himself was and is the word of God made flesh. That's how important the word is. But it makes no sense to you, you know, if you don't know him.
It's like a dictionary.
Yes, it's foolishness to those who don't believe. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, that's just foolishness. Like, oh, I know where you are then. You need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great when people are authentic and truthful because some people are like, they don't, this is how they feel. But they say, if I say that it's not politically correct. And so they just tell you what you think you want to hear instead of saying, it just seems foolish. It doesn't make sense to me. You go, oh, you're not a believer. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You need to get saved.
Yeah.
What does that mean? And you begin to let them know, hey, you just need to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Let me explain to you what God did. Yeah. And what happens, they go, oh, I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And all of a sudden, not only does it come alive to them, but they become hungry for the word of God.
Sure.
They want to know this God. That's a sign of health when you're hungry, by the way. When
absolutely.
You're hungry, if you're not hungry, you're not healthy. And if the church is not hungry for the word of God, the church is not healthy.
No doubt. You know, it's not a lucky rabbit's foot. It doesn't bring you good luck if you have it on the dashboard of your car.
Right.
You know, that doesn't work. That doesn't work.
There's a lot of that in the city, isn't
there? I've seen it all over the place. Like, is that a Bible in the back of the car in the window there? And it's like, is that a
chicken bone?
Yeah.
on the review
like,
mirror.
The sun has laid an outcast of the Bible there.
Yeah, right.
It hasn't moved. It hasn't.
Yeah.
It's right there. You know, it's only when the word of God gets on the inside of you.
Right.
They talked about this big gap between belief and actions. But, you know, the same thing is true about what people believe about hell. Did you know that 71% of Americans believe that a place like hell actually exists, but just half of 1% expect to go there upon death?
Half of one percent.
So it's like, I believe that the Bible is good. I believe, yes, I agree, but I'm not going to read it. Yep, and hell does exist. It exists, but
and I know the one that's going there, but it's not me.
Yeah, right.
Come on, isn't that wild? Come on.
And you understand though that the thing is that Satan's description other than being a liar and the father of lies is he's a deceiver.
Yeah.
And deception is this: when you think what you're doing is right when you're wrong, and what that's called is deception.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is, if you know God, I mean, there's people in the world who are believers and know God, and they can't even get to a Bible.
Hmm.
And they have a page ripped out of a Bible. They have one Bible that they say, you take this page, I'll take that page, you take this page. They live their life off that one page. Somebody says, well, how can you do that? Because they believe in the God who actually gave a Holy Spirit unction to the man to write that and pen that, and God's Spirit's going to show up and just fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
But you have other people have 20 Bibles and only picked it up, you know, what, never.
Yeah.
You know, never. He said, how is God moving? He said, you don't know him. You just don't know, but you can.
Yeah.
You can't. You've got to meet him. You got to meet my father. Go to meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories, and you can meet him too through his son, Jesus Christ. Well, it is time for the finals. This is the final days of the U.S. citizenship test. This is it.
Enjoying beating Pat.
We will be moving. So. Oh, you're right. Well, we tallied this score up.
Sally sells under the seashore. I think.
Actually, do you know a GPS can actually pronounce things better than us? It was amazing. There was something just like that, and I thought, my goodness, did you hear that thing pronounce that thing? Oh, we won't go into the GPS story. So, there's 100 question tests you have to take if you want to be a U.S. citizen. It's called the U.S. citizenship test, and we've been taking it ourselves. Well, actually, I've been giving it.
Let's make that statement. Somebody's got to actually give it.
Yeah, when you laugh at our fumbling around.
Y'all were laughing at each other. Exactly. I mean, we got the footage of this. I mean, he's like, great. He got an easy one, you know?
Every time, I think you set us up.
Yeah. He got the easy ones, right?
Always.
We got some different. Last five's got to be tough. Real tough. And then, of course, based on your scores, you need to go ahead and begin to go to Kyrgyzstan. You're going to be heading to Kyrgyzstan, or you can choose Afghanistan, the mountain range.
As long as we don't go to Iran.
Pakistan, huh?
Yeah, right.
As long as we don't go to Iran.
Oh, my goodness. So this is how it works. This is how it works. I'm going to ask the question. When I ask the question from the U.S. citizenship test.
Open your eyes.
They are open. This is a citizenship tournament test. Oh my goodness, we're just talking about Pat's lisp. That's what it is. I'm going to ask the question from the U.S. citizenship test. My eyes open. And you're going to get a chance to think about it. And I want you to think about it. While you're thinking, of course, you're going to be able to... Yes, exactly. When you hear that music, that means that's when you're praying. Dear Lord, give me an answer.
Help me, Jesus.
Right. And when I ask you your answer, it's going to have to be your final answer. And you will give me your shot at this.
Worked so far.
And of course, if you get it right... Exactly. We'll all applaud. It'll be great. Of course, if you get it wrong... And if you take too long, okay, the first question from the last session of the U.S. citizenship test goes to John.
Yes.
Question number next, which is actually 95 on the test. Where is John?
Where are you?
That was the wrong one.
Where am I?
Like, I remember that one.
I think we're on 96.
I got that wrong. Here it is. Question number now. Okay, John. Why does the flag, United States flag, have 13 stripes? Why does the flag have 13 stripes?
Thank you.
Excellent. That's very good. Okay, here's the question. This is the question.
Don't miss this.
So you do not have to self-deport to Kyrgyzstan.
Mm-hmm.
Is what does... The question is, why does the flag, the United States flag, have 13 stripes?
Well, Alex, I'm going to go...
Oh, Lord. That's a gloating statement.
I'm going to go with an answer. I'm going to say...
Didn't you listen to yesterday's segment?
To honor the 13 original colonies.
Yay! I was thinking you weren't going to get it. I was like, oh, my goodness.
Well, he's going to drag this puppy out.
For some reason, he was rubbing on the keyboard trying to do it. I bet he came up with the answer.
Where is
your faith? Did you Google that?
He was Googling it. Pat.
Uh-oh.
Question number next.
This is going to be a good one.
The U.S. citizenship test is, why does the flag have 50 stars? Why does the flag have 50 stars? Pat.
I need more time.
Oh, my goodness. Give him more time.
You have to remember now, you know, this is the, I mean, we have great confidence in some of these answers now, but we weren't that confident. but you understand is that, I mean, for example, you know, what does the stripe mean on Greece's flag? Well, we're not going to know these different things necessarily. So people that are coming to become a citizen, they don't have a clue yet what these mean. It's like, it's a starry flag. It's a starry flag.
All right.
And so this is the question. Need to know what it is. Now, we're letting people burn it and all this stuff, but we're actually asking them a question. I'm sure people that are U.S. citizens, they're, you know, coming in, they're going like, why are you burning your own flag? This is the question on the U.S. citizenship test.
Citizen.
Oh, my goodness.
This is the last group of questions, right?
Oh, we got to get another tongue twister for him, though.
So, why does the flag, the United States flag, have 50 stars on it, Pat?
Because there are 50 states.
All right, Hotshot, why don't you name the territories then? What are some of the territories?
We did this one already, dude.
Do you have a memory? Hotshot. You should know these by now then, right?
Well, go ahead. Tell me.
Oh, now you want me to tell you.
John.
Yes,
question number next. What does, from the U.S. citizenship test, what is the name? What is the name of the national anthem? What is the name of the national anthem? John, from the U.S. John, from the test that we're taking.
Just say U.S. I'm stumped here.
Oh, come on.
The question is this. What is the name of the national anthem? What is the name of the national anthem for America?
They just say we're singing the national anthem. They didn't ever say the name of the song. They call it the national anthem.
Oh, come on, dude.
I'm just going to throw a guess. Is it the Star Bangled Banner of the Star? I have no idea.
What'd you say?
Star Bangle Banner.
What'd you say?
Star Bangle. I don't know.
Bangles. That's a football team.
That's a tiger.
That's a tiger. I have no idea.
Oh my gosh!
It is.
Kyrgyzstan. Here we come. Back here,
Kyrgyzstan. It's like the language, like.
I missed this one. I have no idea. I'm a loss.
Pat, all the children that are listening, obviously Pat knows it. He's like,
he obviously knows it.
Got to say,
I'm not going there.
I will defer from the gentleman.
If he asks, I'll tell him.
He already did go there already. No, what? Not going to go there. Like, your foot's on me. Okay. What is the question? Is this, what is the name of the national anthem? And it's the Star Spangled Banner. Remember, if you need to know more about this, go to the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. There's an entire segment on how it came about. Remember when they had them all, they were surrounded.
With the rockets and red glare. They were in
rockets,
the boat.
Rockets, red glare.
Now I remember.
The
flag was still there.
And the men were holding and pushing up, and then they would fall, and then the other men would kind of stand on their bodies, and they would hold it up. And they said, is the flag still there? Is the flag still there?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and it's like, that's the kind of heart it's going to take, you know, for us to stand today, you know, for our country. And this is what you got to pass to be a U.S. citizenship. Okay, Pat, question number next, and this is the second to the last question for the U.S. citizenship test, is when do we celebrate Independence Day? When do we celebrate Independence Day? The second to the last question from the U.S. citizenship test is, when do we celebrate Independence Day?
That would be July the 4th.
Yay!
Wow.
That's actually Star Spangled Banner Day.
Bangle.
Bangle Tangle Day.
Star Spangled Tiger Day.
Tangle Bangle Day. But you think about it. We have a day that we celebrate the Declaration of Independence, which has, what, 17 or 27 reasons why we actually separated? 27 reasons written in it. And we actually shoot fireworks off and all that because we're celebrating the day we got our independence from tyrannical rule.
That's right.
You know, and here it's coming up. The 4th of July is coming up really soon. And so hopefully we're learning more. We can really celebrate it. Here's the last question from... And the answer was, of course, July the 4th. The last question from the U.S. citizenship test, so that you will not have to get deported to Kyrgyzstan, is, John, name the thread that was used by Martha Washington when she sewed the 13th star on the left side.
John.
Yes.
Name the thread used by Martha. Okay, here it is. I got it.
You ready?
Yeah, you have to make it interesting. I was like, because these are like, these are for us.
This is it.
But we don't know anything about the Greece flag.
No.
But it's greasy.
Or Cyprus.
The greasy flag. Okay, here it is. Question number, John, next. Here, last. Here it is. Name two nations.
Okay.
That's Russian. Name two national U.S. holidays. John's going to know these. Name two national U.S. holidays. John, the last question the U.S. citizenship test. The last question, I said.
Hey.
Hopefully, our audience won't go back and tally our score because we may have to leave the country. We found out that our frontal lobe, you know, you have to actually forget some things to learn some new things.
Mm-hmm.
We have some new things in there, but there's some things we need to bring back. That's why we're doing this, so we can remember what our country's about, the founding reason, the original ten of our country. And it's amazing. It looks like people who just became a citizen the right way in our country know more about our country than those that have been here forever.
Yeah.
Forever. And that's just like, you know, Lord forgive us for not knowing the roots of what we came from and what's going on. John, last question. Here it is.
Yes.
You don't have to go to Kyrgyzstan. Name two national U.S. holidays.
I'm going to go with President's Day and Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
My goodness, that was amazing. There, you did really good. Here they are. Here's the national holidays. You have the Firecracker Day. You have the Popsicle Day. You have the Taco Day. You have the Hot Sauce Day. Here it is. Got it? Here it is.
We're ready.
You got to know this. This is important. All the holidays you get. New Year's Day is one national holiday. Martin Luther King Day, Jr. Day, which is January the
17th.
20th.
Okay. It's birthday.
Is it? Could be wrong. January. you have President's Day. You have Memorial Day. You have Independence Day. You have Labor Day. You have Columbus Day. Veterans Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas, a national holiday. Let's think about that. Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
A national holiday. I mean, there it is, the last question in our citizenship test just resounds that this is a Judeo-Christian nation, and we even recognize the birth of Christ. It's been a national holiday. I think about that.
That's awesome.
And so we learned so much. Have we learned so much about being able to? And if you haven't yet, you go back. You can go back and go to the VFN Torch or go to any segment on the VFN TV app and listen to the whole. It'll be all there together. Question 1 through 100, and it may be really great to play for your kids as well. So they'll have a lot of fun, you know, listening to it. We're just having a lot of fun, but we're trying to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're having kind of mixing, you know, infotainment, you know. And understanding what's happening, learning some things, looking at the original intent. And we were shocked. I mean, we were shocked at what we need to relearn again. But, you know, we can relearn it. We can relearn it. And we're going to be looking in the future. Now we've conquered this test. We are going to be going into the Constitution. So I'm so excited about it because that is the thing that is our founding. That's our foundation.
Yeah,
for how things that's what we're made up of. When people start talking about changing your constitution, they're talking about changing the DNA of your nation, and that's important. That's a conversation of today. It is like, do we want to change the constitution or not? It's like saying, do you want arms coming out your shoulders, or you want feet coming out your shoulders? I mean, we got to pay attention. We don't want things to change. So make sure you catch that on VFN Radio in the future. We enjoyed. We'll be right back. You know, when you think about the church, you know, and what the enemy has done, the mindset, the vocabulary, and the first thing that God started doing with us is to recapture the vocabulary again of what God is actually saying. I mean, you can really mess things up by changing the meaning of words, you know. You could just change the meaning of it, and all of a sudden you've got things going in a different direction. And so we had to rediscover, you know, what is the church? And we found out that the church is not a building. You know, we like buildings. I got a couple of good friends that are buildings, you know. But the whole thing is that the church is people. You know, we're the building of God, that know ye not that Christ dwells in you. The hope of glory is inside of you. All these wonderful things that we talk about. But understanding this is that, you know, so when you begin to be the church and you're abiding with God and you're hearing him and you're operating in family, you know, you have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers in the Lord and all this wonderful stuff, and it's just fun. You know, you look for a time to go there, but you still have, you know, things you're dealing with. You're still in the same storm everybody else is in. You're still in the same nation. You're still in the same workplace. You know, so you're having these pains and these struggles you're going through, and it's difficult, but yet it's encouraging that we have this. But, you know, John, I could only imagine how hard it is for somebody right now. If you're listening to us today and you don't have that relationship, I mean, you love Jesus, you know, you're born again, but you're in this whole, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is tradition, where, you know, men's philosophies and concepts and programs, and but you're not in family. I mean, you can call things family. I mean, so many people call things family, but you know what family is. You don't have to call it family. It just is. And he's called us to be the family of God.
And if you're going through all the same stuff that we're going through, but you're doing it outside of family, think about it. That's got to be horrific. I couldn't imagine. Well, actually, I could, because I remember what it was like when I was going through that without having what God has done with us today in regards to family. Yeah, I mean, you might have had somebody that's friended you on Facebook, but, you know, just friending somebody does not mean that they're a friend. I mean, you think about it. If you had a, I know this, John. Remember when we went to help out with the hurricanes that happened in New Orleans?
Right.
And, you know, it was just horrific what happened, and still have scars today inside of our heart for what happened. It was so bad, couldn't fix it. And the crux of it really was in Waveland. It was flattened, and then the waters, you know, busted in New Orleans and flooded. But, you know, the church didn't know each other, and they were scattered all over the place, and they couldn't find the church because there was no authentic family-type burdened relationship. So other parts of the church who didn't know the parts of the church come in and start helping everybody. But when we go back there, you remember when Pat and I had went back there, the Lord sent us back to New Orleans, and we were talking to Leo DeJesus and Sandy, awesome man and woman of God. And Leo, if you're listening today, Sandy, if you're listening today, we love you. You guys are so encouraging to us. And he has this wonderful upper room in his house that overlooks the Mississippi, looking right on the city of New Orleans. It's the city he's in is Gretna. He's in Gretna, overlooking the Mississippi. And he said that, but the pastors left the church. They just left. The shepherds, they left, you know. And Jesus says that's a hireling. It's a hard, but I have empathy though for a leader of a traditional situation, because, you know, it goes both ways. You know, they don't have a relationship with you. You don't have a relationship with them. And the thing about family is you both have to invest.
That's right.
You know, but it's hard to do in that kind of setting. Well, I encourage you, if you haven't even thought about, you know, just walking out what God says in his word, that it's not foreign. It really is true. It's happening at the Vine Fellowship Network. It's actually happening. You can go to VFNfamily.org and find out more about it. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire 2-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John.
You didn't know what to say there.
No, I really don't, you know. I really don't. I'm just looking for that subwoofer type boom, bam, boom, boom. They look at me like crazy, right? With some bagpipes.
If you need some bows, though, I know where you can get some.
Some who?
Some bows. I know you can get some white ones.
Like speakers?
Oh, yeah.
We have a moment. I want to be able to share from Proverbs a short wisdom moment. It's Proverbs 27:17. 27:17. It reads, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Are there people in your life that just seem to be always rubbing you the wrong way? People that just, you think, there just seems to be always this tension or this friction or something of that nature. You know, some people just think that
look at it in one perspective. They say, listen, this is just a negative encounter. This is not good. But those that follow the Lord understand that this person is sharpening me. I am being sharpened for the master's use. What they mean for evil, God means it for good. He's sharpening me so I can be an exact instrument in the Lord's hand for his purposes. Listen, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. If you have no one in your life that challenges you, if you have no one in your life that just kind of rubs you the wrong way, and you kind of avoid all those incidences, what's going on? You're a pretty dull person. You really can't be used for much. If something comes up, you crumble. You didn't go through the process of understanding that the processes of God is the testing of your faith. It's going through something. It's believing and holding on. It's understanding that you got to be with people. I mean, there's actually people that say they're called to minister for God, but they just don't want to be with people. And I'm like, dude, you can't, or dudette, you know, you can't, dude, can't, it's about people. Mm. And it's like, it's all about people. Jesus said, or John writes, he says, listen, you know, if you say you love God, but you don't love your brother, you're a liar. Mm-hmm. You got to hang around with those folks that God's going to use to rub you the wrong way, because what they're doing is rubbing parts of you off that you didn't need in the first place.
That's right.
The only thing that shows up or responds are the parts of us that have not yet died. But you know what? If you get close enough and live your life right before God and abide with him and get around a few friends and that love God, and even sometimes you're working with that don't, understand that you're going to be a sharp instrument in the hand of the Lord. You can be used for surgical moves by the kingdom of God, if in fact you understand Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.